It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. A lasting ceasefire in Syria.
This was an outcome created by us, the United States, and nobody else.
That is our top story at noon. President Trump says the ceasefire has held and the Kurds are safe. This after Russia and Turkey announced a deal earlier today to patrol Syria's northern border. The move in response to U.S. forces getting out.
Over the last 5 days, you have seen that a ceasefire that we established along Syria's border has held, and has held very well, beyond most expectations. Early this morning, the government of Turkey informed my administration that they would be stopping combat and their offensive in Syria.
President Trump says because of the ceasefire, U.S. sanctions on Turkey will now be lifted. Meantime, Baghdad announcing today that U.S. troops who've left Syria can only stay in Iraq for 1 month. Here's military analyst Jeff McClausen.
There's been some general talk about these troops are being positioned to monitor ISIS resurgence in northeastern Syria. They're there. Some have suggested, along with a few troops, are going to be maintained in southern Syria to protect the Syrian oil fields against ISIS.
President Trump says a small number of U.S. troops will indeed remain in Syria to protect the oil there. The commander-in-chief says countless lives are now being saved as a result of his administration's negotiations with Turkey to stop the fighting in Syria. Now to the impeachment probe. The Democratic investigation into President Trump continues. Ambassador Bill Taylor testified for 10 hours yesterday. Democrats tried to draw a line between withholding aid to Ukraine and President Trump's push to investigate political foes. Michigan Democrat Andy Levin.
This is my most disturbing day in Congress so far.
But former Assistant U.S. Attorney Andy McCarthy says this is much ado about nothing.
It's just preposterous to be arguing it in terms of impeachment, because these are not high crimes and misdemeanors. I think we can say there were faults on both sides, but to inflate this into an impeachable offense, I think, is not only absurd under the circumstances, it will make this country ungovernable.
The top Defense Department official for Ukraine policy testifying today, Laura Cooper on Capitol Hill. Outgoing Energy Secretary Rick Perry says the probe needs to stop.
Instead of chasing this ghost, if you will, this impeachment inquiry that is sucking all the air out of the room, so to speak, focus on what is really important to the American people. What's important to the American people is being able to create jobs, to be able to create wealth.
Republican Senator Lindsey Graham says he'll introduce legislation condemning the Democratic impeachment inquiry. Facebook face-off.
This has been a challenging few years for Facebook.
CEO Mark Zuckerberg getting a grilling from lawmakers about the 2020 election today and what Facebook will do to protect the vote.
I recognize that we play an important role in society and have unique responsibilities because of that. And I feel blessed to be in a position where we can make a difference in people's lives. And for as long as I'm here, I'm committed to using our position to push for big ideas that I believe can help empower people.
At 35 years old, Mark Zuckerberg, one of the richest men in the world, the founder of Facebook, also talking about his controversial plan for digital currency at today's House hearing. A gruesome discovery in southeast England today. 39 bodies found in the back of an 18-wheeler at an industrial park east of London.
At this stage, we have not identified where the victims are from or their identities, and we anticipate this could be a lengthy process.
Police say the truck was from Bulgaria and came to England on a ferry from Ireland last Saturday. Authorities think it's a tragic case of human trafficking.
The dead were likely from outside the EU. Police say the investigation into their deaths and into their identities is likely to be a long one. It appears none had any identifying documents on them.
Vicky Barker reporting. Police in Alabama say they found the remains of a missing 3-year-old girl, Camille McKinney, found in a dumpster 10 days after she disappeared from a birthday party in Birmingham. Mayor Randall Woofen.
Our entire city is mourning. Camille is gone. Ripped away from her family. The pain her family is enduring is unimaginable.
Two people have been arrested and charged with murder and kidnapping. Well, nothing lasts forever, even when it's always. Family Life's Brandon Dixon explains.
Feminine hygiene product maker Always is removing the Venus symbol from its products in an effort to be inclusive toward transgender and non-binary customers. Transgender activists reportedly argue that not all people who menstruate are women and not all women menstruate. The move by Procter & Gamble joins similar actions by Lyft, MasterCard, and Tinder to affirm the chosen identities of transgender people as transgender equality activism sweeps the nation. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Okay, Brandon, the Nationals take game one.
We did it! Day one! Let's go, Nats!
Don't call them the underdogs anymore, folks. The Washington Nationals beating the Houston Astros last night to take the first game of the Fall Classic Game 2 tonight in Texas. Still to come this Wednesday, President Trump in Pittsburgh, Joe Biden in Scranton, and economic touchdown in Buffalo.
Good afternoon. A drier day underway, but a couple lake effect rain showers are on the radar view. We'll check forecast details. Heading toward the weekend, coming up. We'll look for you in 10 minutes.
Can't wait for the weekend. Thank you, Kevin. Checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania, Wednesday, October 23rd. All hail the chief. President Trump in Pittsburgh today, where he'll address an annual gathering of the natural gas industry.
That's what we do. It's blue-collar work here, and we're energy-driven in Pennsylvania.
Sean Steffi, head of the local energy union in the Steel City.
As a boilermaker, and especially a boilermaker in Pittsburgh, the president is delivering on his promises on energy and fossil fuels, and I would like to see it to continue. I would like to see natural gas and Marcellus Shell continue to thrive.
As President Trump promotes his energy policies in Pittsburgh later today, the man who wants his job was in Scranton this morning. Former Vice President Joe Biden visiting his old stomping grounds to press the flesh and talk about his own economic recovery plan. Pennsylvanians say it's exciting to get so many political heavyweights in the state.
I think it's pretty cool to put us back on the national spotlight. Everybody's been pretty excited. You know, it doesn't matter what political party you are.
I think it is a good thing that we matter. I mean, I think people would feel bad if no one ever came here.
Well, I think it's good for the area that they show, you know, everything's happening politically and so forth. I mean, me, I get a little tired of it after a while.
A lot of eyes on Pennsylvania. Donald Trump became the first Republican since 1988 to win the Commonwealth in the last presidential election. Pundits predict the Keystone State will be key to who wins the White House next year. President Trump's former campaign chief says it's time for New York Governor Andrew Cuomo to call for a special election to fill New York's 27th congressional seat.
Let their voters have representation in Washington, D.C. I don't think it's fair that they don't have any. Obviously, the congressman resigned, but we knew that. And so let's get a new election on the ballot and let's send someone to Washington, D.C. to represent the people of this district.
Corey Lewandowski, the guest on WBEN Radio in Buffalo, the 27th congressional seat has been vacant ever since Republican Chris Collins resigned after pleading guilty to federal insider trading charges. Critics throwing a red flag at New York's green light law. The measure being challenged in federal court today by Erie County Clerk Mickey Kern.
This is not only dealing with the state of New York, this could have an impact on many other states that give driver's licenses to those who are here illegally.
The local attorney Michael Siragusa says the green light law violates the U.S. Constitution.
Substantial provisions of the green light law impinge and infringe on the federal government's sole authority over the area of immigration.
New York, one of a dozen states that have voted to grant illegal immigrants the right to drive. The law takes effect in mid-December, barring any court intervention. An off-campus fraternity at Penn State University has been suspended following the death of a 17-year-old. Jack Schoenig was not a student there. He died over the weekend while visiting the school, and his death comes 2 years after the passing of Timothy Piazza. The sophomore biology major died after a night of heavy drinking during a hazing ritual at Penn State. A deer car collision in New York's Southern Tier has turned out to be fatal. Family Life's Tracy Lynn.
The Tioga County Sheriff's Office released more details today about a tragic accident on the Southern Tier Expressway in Waverly. A 7-year-old boy from Owego has died as a result of his injuries. The vehicle he was in hit a deer and became disabled on the highway Sunday night. That vehicle was then struck by an oncoming tractor trailer. The driver of the car and an 11-year-old female occupant are both in critical condition at Robert Packer Hospital. A 5-year-old boy suffered minor injuries. The driver of the big rig is cooperating with the police investigation. Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Thank you, Tracy. The city of Buffalo working to get the lead out of older, low-income homes. Claudia Decker, president of the Community Foundation of Greater Buffalo.
Buffalo is ranked among the top 10 cities in the country for incidence of elevated lead levels in children. That is a ranking we don't want.
Over the past 3 years, the city of Buffalo has replaced over 100 water lines that contain dangerous levels of lead. Speaking of water, the international board that oversees the amount of water released from Lake Ontario into the St. Lawrence River is now taking steps to reduce lake levels. Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
The amount of water that officials on the International Lake Ontario St. Lawrence River Board are releasing is still above the usual outflows for this time of year because lake levels are still over the so-called trigger levels in the government's water management plan called Plan 2014. A board spokesperson says the plan is to keep the outflows higher to remove as much water as possible from the lake. Officials took the same measure the last time levels were this high back in 2017. Right now, the lake is hovering 16 inches above its long-term average. Lake Ontario reached record high levels this year, causing widespread flooding along the lakeshore. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. Pennsylvanians reacting to legislation unveiled this week in Harrisburg that would ban abortion if a heartbeat is detected.
Any kind of heartbeat. It's a person, so I really am against abortion.
I think that women's rights need to stay
a woman's choice. She is the boss of her own body, and nobody else should be able to tell her what to do.
I can understand abortion for medical reasons. Anything other than that, no.
Two bills before the General Assembly would prohibit abortion after 6 weeks of pregnancy. Once a fetal heartbeat is detected, under current Pennsylvania law, abortions are allowed up to 24 weeks of pregnancy. Governor Tom Wolf has promised to veto the heartbeat bill if it ever reaches his desk. Ending child marriage in Pennsylvania just took a big step forward. Family Life's Terry Diener.
The measure, which drew a 49-0 vote with no debate, echoes a measure passed by the House of Representatives in June in setting the minimum age to marry at 18. A spokesman for the governor said he would sign the bill when it reaches his desk. The proposed law has the backing of Unchained at Last, a national organization dedicated to ending what it sees as a human rights abuse. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. The Buffalo Bills' success this season on the football field has been an economic touchdown for Western New York.
When the Bills are winning, people are always happier. They're in a better mood. The feelings of optimism in the community are always higher.
Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown.
When the team is doing well, there is a positive economic impact in the city, in the county, in the region.
Hotels in Buffalo say they've seen an uptick in business, not just from the Bills' hot start, but also the Sabres' winning season has translated into big bucks in Buffalo. Pennsylvania politicians pushing a proposal to protect puppies. Family Life's Paul Price.
Yeah, bipartisan bill's been unveiled called Victoria's Law. It calls for a ban on puppy mills in Pennsylvania. It's legislation that was inspired by a German shepherd named Victoria, who was rescued from a puppy mill after 10 years of breeding left her paralyzed. The measure prohibits pet stores from selling dogs, cats, and rabbits unless they come from shelters or rescues. It's hoped this legislation will prompt pet stores to partner with shelters and rescues in the promotion of adoption and decrease the demand for puppies raised in puppy mills. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. The Fairview Park in East Binghamton getting some upgrades. Mayor Rich David joined by Dick's Sporting Goods CEO Ed Stack to announce plans to renovate the girls' softball field. Stack says it's all about giving the kids a place to play.
We think it's so important for kids to have an opportunity to get out and play. And with what's happening today with so many funding cuts, kids aren't having the opportunity to get out and play the way that we did. We're just happy to be able to come back and help put these fields in great position and maybe get many more kids to come out here and play.
The upgrades to the ball field will cost around $200,000, and the work should be finished by next spring, just in time for the start of the softball and baseball seasons in Binghamton. Speaking of baseball, the Nats take game one. Sunny time, 2 minute drill.
Yeah, let's start with the World Series and hello, Soto.
Third youngest player, as you saw it, he hit cleanup in a World Series, and he just cleaned up. Wow!
The Nationals Juan Soto, the second youngest player in baseball history to hit a homer in his first World Series appearance. Soto actually went 3-for-4 with a home run and 3 RBI for the Nats, who beat the Astros and Gerrit Cole 5-4. Gerrit Cole, who had been unbeatable, gave up all 5 runs in 7 frames to take the loss for the Astros. Steven Strasburg opposes Justin Verlander. Game 2 tonight in Houston. NBA regular season.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Toronto Raptors got their rings and raised their banner before outlasting the Pelicans 130-122 in overtime. Raptors guard Fred VanVleet.
It's very fun to be in the position that we're in, where we just won it, but we kind of are on the climb again. We're attacking another title, and there's going to be some ups and downs and some struggles, but you can relish it and understand it more after winning one.
In the nightcap, the Battle of L.A., Kawhi Leonard scored 30 points, leading the Clippers by LeBron and the Lakers 112-102.
I feel like I got to my spots early, missed some little chippies, but you know, I mean, I just started making shots. That's what happened.
To the ice, Sabres, Sharks, overtime.
Takes the shot, rebound, is there, they back on it.
Jack Eichel with that game-winning score as the Sabres improved to 8-1-1 on the year, undefeated in Buffalo. In New York, overtime loss for the Rangers.
Dvorak trying to go wide, gets it, good luck, he scores!
Christian Dvorak with that goal as the Coyotes beat the Rangers 3-2. Maple Leafs fall to the Bruins 4-2. Penguins fall to the Panthers 4-2 in Florida. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphia.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come this Wednesday, the ceasefire in Syria, how to unplug your life, and a quantum leap forward for computers.
God gave us hearts, and he gave us minds. He expects us not only to use both, but to love him with both. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. The scandal of the evangelical mind is that there is not much of an evangelical mind. That stinging first sentence opens Mark Knoll's game-changing book, The Scandal of the Evangelical Mind, which was published 25 years ago this month. In the book, Knoll takes American Christianity to task for failing to obey Christ's command to love God not just with our hearts, souls, and strength, but also with our minds. He identifies ways in which American believers, especially conservative Protestants, abandon the intellectual life and higher education, preferring experience and emotion. The Scandal of the Evangelical Mind helped inspire the work of the Colson Center. Chuck Colson was a big fan of this book. In fact, a whole movement of organizations and authors took Knoll's critique to heart and began to seriously promote the idea of thinking Christianly. Not only has there been a renewal of Christian interest in higher education, but also a partial recovery of the church's own intellectual heritage, including a renaissance of apologetics, ethics, and classical schools, and of course, theology. We've come a long way in 25 years. But there's still so much work to be done. In fact, a frequent piece of feedback I get here at the Colson Center goes something like this. All this theology and worldview reading and talk about ideas is great, but can we just get back to Jesus? The complaint echoes a popular internet video from a few years ago that urged folks to hate religion and just love Jesus. But who is this Jesus we're supposed to love? And how would we know? If you asked 100 professing Christians that question, who is Jesus, I'm guessing most would list Christ's biblical names and titles, the Lion of Judah, the Prince of Peace, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Messiah, most likely of all, my personal Lord and Savior. And as true as those responses are, what do they mean? None of them, in and of themselves, actually answers the question, who is Jesus?
In fact, without clarification and some sort of theological grounding, those titles and names and phrases will be misunderstood. They'll be privatized, individualized conceptions of who Jesus is. This personal Jesus thing goes hand in hand with a popular retelling of the story of redemption, in which God sends Jesus to help us escape this world to go to heaven, where we'll finally be free from human concerns and responsibilities, like, for example, studying theology. The gulf between this Jesus and the Jesus of Scripture really could not be wider. In the account of creation, fall, redemption, and restoration, we meet a Jesus who's not less than our personal Savior, but is certainly so much more. He's revealed to us as the culmination of a cosmos-sized unfolding drama in which God restores His creation and His image bearers to His created design and intent. He wants us to know this. He's gone to great pains to make Himself known. Theology is the task of using our minds to engage with Scripture and Christian teaching about who He is and what He's doing. In other words, theology is how we meet Jesus. It's how to have a relationship with Him that's based on truth and based in reality. By loving God with our minds, we learn how to live in this world in light of what He wants us to know. Now, don't mishear me. Time in prayer, time in worship, time in fellowship, these are indispensable to knowing God. But asking when we can wrap up all this worldview teaching and get back to Jesus, that's just kind of another way of asking how we can ignore the real Jesus, the one who requires us to be fully engaged, mind and all, in loving Him and others in this world. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stonestreet.
20 minutes past the hour. Let's head outside. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The front that brought the rain yesterday and last night is now well east of the area, and drier air has arrived. The result, we'll be seeing some sunshine over the next couple days in many areas. Lake effect rain showers, though, northeast of Lake Erie will be an issue at times, to the extent that you want to at least have an umbrella at hand there. The call for this afternoon, sunshine, mixed clouds. Couple lake effect rain showers in parts of western New York and far northwest Pennsylvania. High temperatures, 50s to near 60. Tonight and tomorrow, on balance, partly cloudy with a stray shower near the lakes. We're down to 40s tonight and in the mid-50s to low 60s tomorrow. On Friday, clouds, some sun, and a shower. Chilly, upper 40s to the upper 50s then.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Wednesday, October 23rd. President Trump says the ceasefire has held and the Kurds are safe.
This was an outcome created by us, the United States, and nobody else, no other nation. Very simple.
The president says because of the ceasefire, U.S. sanctions on Turkey will now be lifted.
So the sanctions will be lifted unless something happens that we're not happy with.
Earlier this month, the Trump administration announced that U.S. troops were leaving that region. And today, Iraq said that American forces stationed there after leaving Syria have to be gone in a month.
Numbers are not that huge, so I think they can physically do this. The big question, I think, is going to be equipment. A lot of the equipment they have is very heavy, such as MRAP, mine-resistant vehicles. As a consequence, moving the troops, a few hundred can be moved out by aircraft in rapid fashion. The bigger question will be the removal of the equipment.
That's military analyst Jeff McClausen. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg defending efforts by the social media giant to get ahead of political misinformation geared towards the 2020 election. Zuckerberg says he knows his company has a lot of work to do after the 2016 vote.
We spent a lot of the last few years building systems that are more sophisticated than any other company has at this point, and frankly, a lot of governments too, for defending against foreign interference.
Lawmakers also want to know about Facebook's plans to create a global digital currency. Another day, another witness in the impeachment probe of President Trump.
Laura Cooper is the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Russia, Ukraine, and Eurasia. She's another highly sought-after witness by the committees investigating the president. Her appearance today comes in the wake of yesterday's 10-hour deposition by William Taylor, the man charged with running the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine.
That's Bill Rakoff on Capitol Hill this afternoon. Crisscrossing the Commonwealth, Joe Biden and President Trump on opposite ends of Pennsylvania today. Biden
Biden held a rally this morning in Scranton.
The problem Democrats are facing in this race is if Joe Biden is the nominee, Hunter Biden becomes Hillary Clinton's emails.
The president, meantime, will talk energy this afternoon in Pittsburgh.
The president is delivering on his promises on energy and fossil fuels, and I would like to see it continue.
Pundits predict Pennsylvania and its 20 electoral votes will be key to who wins the White House next year. Former Vice President Joe Biden leading in the polls for the Democratic presidential nomination. A new CNN poll out today shows Biden with support from 34% of Democrats. Senator Elizabeth Warren is second at 19%, while Bernie Sanders comes in third at 16%. A new study says when you take your blood pressure meds could save your life. Correspondent Vicky Barker.
Spanish researchers followed about 10,000 people with high blood pressure who took their medication in the morning and another 10,000 who took it at bedtime. After 6 years, they found those who took their meds at night had a 66% lower risk of death from heart disease and a 44% reduced risk of heart attack.
That's Vicky Barker reporting. 25 minutes past the hour, next at noon, Inside Out with Martha Monicus Foster. Today's topic: how to unplug your life. Let's listen in.
If you're a parent, you multitask. You ask your child to name the colors on a cookbook page while you write a grocery list. You help them practice their numbers as you pay the bills. Juggling's part of parenting. But today's parents have a powerful distraction their parents didn't have: the lure of handheld electronics, which are designed to grab a person's full attention.
We block things out that are around us, I think, very differently from if we are, you know, searching a cookbook in our lap for a recipe while our kid is playing at our feet. I think that's a very different thing.
Dr. Kathy Cook is the founder and president of Celebrate Kids Incorporated and co-founder of Ignite the Family. She understands the allure of a smartphone.
It keeps us happy. It gives us something to distract us from the reality of the dirty diaper that somebody needs to change.
Right. Dr. Cook is the author of 6 books, including one titled Screens and Teens.
Even more important for us to recognize is that when we are looking at a device, it suggests to our children that we are off limits.
Even so, is a little me time really harmful? Do children really lose if the parent sitting next to them is focused on a handheld device?
You know what, Martha? They lose an emotional connection. Because you know what children tell me? They'll say, lady, they don't remember my name. And they'll go, you know, lady, I wish my parents played with me. I wish they played with me. They watch me play.
And then, of course, there are the times we don't watch them play. We don't look up to watch them at all. And parents miss out on something that might have prompted a high five.
We're going to lose out on the cognitive interaction we could have had when they saw the butterfly. We don't even know they saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw and they pointed. And then we go, oh, sweetheart, that's called a butterfly. And remember, when we're looking at that caterpillar. I mean, we can have a whole conversation about what happens there if we are alert to what's going on.
It's those times when adults really focus on children and what they have to say that they relax into conversation.
I think they ask deeper questions about life in general if they know that we're engaged with them.
In the podcast of my conversation with Dr. Cook, she talks about ways parents can learn if the internet may be distracting them from their children. One way is to ask yourself a straightforward question.
Ask yourself, am I less connected to my kids than I want to be?
Oh.
I mean, I think that's maybe the most profound and the scariest self-assessment.
And if changing some habits could improve the relationship, Dr. Cook has some suggestions. One is to turn off all screens for the first half hour after a child arrives home.
So let's honor the first 30 minutes. That's when they want to talk to us about their playmate, about what they had at snack time, or the Bible lesson that they heard in the Mom's Day Out program. So the first 30 minutes, let's get off the devices and be fully attentive to our kids in the room with them. Let's sacrifice. Let's put them first, and let's not be selfish and self-centered in those moments.
Another suggestion is to capture the family time around meals.
I'm a huge advocate of any meal should be eaten in what I call a digital free zone. No radio, no TV, no movies, no phones, no research is being done. We're not looking at the weather for tomorrow's soccer game. We do all of that after dinner.
And when a parent needs to use the internet with children nearby, make it a family project.
To do things together. If you're looking for new recipes to use the frozen chicken you have in your freezer, why don't you sit with your two kids on either side of you and research on the internet with them?
Mm-hmm.
3 years old, 5 years old, 7 years old, they can interact with you about that. You can say, hey, do you want peas in it? No, I don't like peas.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, let them have a say in that.
Parents and children together can research where to go on vacation or what movies to watch on TV.
And that inspires kids to do technology together. Mm-hmm. And you can, in your mentoring moments, help them understand why you're going to pass by something and not pay attention to it.
Taking an inventory of the impact of our actions and then acting on what we learn, that's going to take courage and humility.
You know, we can humble ourselves and recognize that we need some accountability and some mentoring maybe, and we can take a step back and do a better job. Our kids are worth it. Our kids are worth it. And you all know we only have a short window of opportunity, so let's not let it be lost.
Dr. Kathy Cook has more to say, and you can hear the conversation in our 15-minute podcast at fln.org/podcast. I'm Martha Manikas Foster with this Inside Out feature report on Family Life.
Thank you, Martha. Inside Out comes your way Wednesdays during the noon report. Let's head to the Weather Center one more time. Kevin Williams, you're up.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The front that brought the rain yesterday and last night is now well east of the area, and drier air has arrived. The result, we'll be seeing some sunshine over the next couple days in many areas. Lake effect rain showers, though, northeast of Lake Erie will be an issue at times, to the extent that you want to at least have an umbrella at hand there. The call for this afternoon, sunshine, mixed clouds, a couple lake effect rain showers in parts of western New York and far northwest Pennsylvania. High temperatures, 50s to near 60. Tonight and tomorrow, on balance, partly cloudy with a stray shower near the lakes. We're down to 40s tonight and in the mid-50s to low 60s tomorrow. On Friday, clouds, some sun, and a shower. Chilly, upper 40s to the upper 50s then.
Getting it done at the Weather Center this afternoon. We appreciate it, Kevin. Finally, at noon, a quantum leap for computing. Here's correspondent Steve Kaffin.
Google reports in the journal Nature that an experimental processor completed a calculation in just 3.5 minutes. It's one that would take a traditional supercomputer 10,000 years to finish. It's the kind of exponential calculation power that could give Google and the U.S. a leg up for the economic and national security advantages to whoever can master the technology first.
Thank you, Steve. Steve Kaffin reporting, and that is the world we live in for a Wednesday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.